discussing this week about Tainis Becharos and also Tainis Esther a little bit. And the Gemara tells us in Pesachim Daf Kuf Ches Amud Aleph that Rav Ashi was very careful not to eat the entire Erev Pesach, all of Yud Daled Nisan. And the Gemara is trying to figure out what's behind this. Perhaps he has a unique shita. One of the reasons why a person shouldn't eat an Erev Pesach in general is because either it's going to ruin his meal at night, it's going to take away from his eating of matzah that evening at the Seder, or because if he's so involved in his meal, he might forget to bring the Karban Pesach. So Rav Sheshi has had this practice of not eating the entire day, even from the morning. So the Gemara has this suggestion, perhaps he assumes, like the opinion, that the Karban Pesach is allowed to be brought all day long, even from the morning. So therefore you shouldn't eat whenever there's a chiv to bring the Karban. One shouldn't eat, because your meal might overtake your life, and you might forget to bring the Karban Pesach, which of course is a chiv karis. Now, even though halachically, we assume that the Karban Pesach is brought in the afternoon only, there is a das yachid of Ben Becerra, of Yehuda Ben Becerra, who holds that you bring it even in the morning. So like where it says, so maybe Rav Sheshi is passing, like Ben Becerra, that even from the morning you bring the Karban Pesach, and therefore one should not have any meals. We do have other instances where we don't eat meals, lest you forget to do the mitzvah. We say half an hour before Bedikas Chametz, half an hour before before Neir's Chanukah. The truth is that half an hour before any mitzvah that you're chayv to do, one shouldn't eat. There's a big shaila on Friday night. You daven early. Daven early before Tzeis. So the halach is, once Tzeis comes, even 30 minutes before Tzeis, samach the Tzeis, there's a chiv to say Kriyashma. So you're not allowed to have a meal, really, when you're entering into the zone of performing a mitzvah. So these are halachas that are very important, people don't necessarily know about. But that was the discussion in the Gemara. And the Gemara says, in the end of the day, Rav Sheshes was different because he was an istinus, he was finicky, he was very sensitive. Even a little bit of a food in the morning, breakfast, would ruin his appetite for the Seder. So that's the conversation. So Tosos gets into the question whether he took upon himself a real fast, or maybe he was just having some self-control of not eating so much. So those are the 2 days in terms of what Rav Sheshes was doing. Was it an actual tainus or not? And then Tosfos at the end says, there is a practice among Becharos, among the Becharos, Nagu, HaBecharos Nagu Lisanos Erev Pesach. The practice of the firstborns are to fast Erev Pesach. And he quotes a Masech Sofrim, which is found in the back of the Masech Avodah Zarah. She'ein misanin b'nisan ela b'choros b'er Pesach. You know, Chodesh Nisan is a very, very happy month. And we don't say tachnin all of Nisan. There's no hespedim all of Nisan. We don't fast all of Nisan with the exception of Er Pesach. So, this is not found anywhere in the Gemara. It's not elaborated much by many of the Rishonim. It's just mentioned here. And no one really describes, other than a few Rishonim, no one really gets into great detail what exactly is this fast. So as a side point, why didn't the Gemara suggest that perhaps Rav Sheshes was fasting Er Pesach because Tainis Becharos? Sounds like perhaps the Gemara doesn't hold of such a Tainis, but the simple answer would be, I don't know the whole history, but maybe Rav Sheshes wasn't a Bechor. Who said he was a Bechor? So we don't know where he stood in his family, so that's perhaps a reason why there is no proof from this Gemara that it doesn't mention it, that the Gemara rejects the Tainis Becharos. It just may not be applicable to the case of Rav Sheshes. So this is the source, so this is the best we have in the Gemara of Tainis Becharos.
Did the Gemara not know either?
We don't know. The Gemara doesn't mention it. The Gemara, we have no idea. Seemingly the Gemara knew what was the Masech HaSofrim. The fact that the Gemara doesn't mention it oftentimes will indicate that maybe it doesn't hold of such a concept. There are many things that are not mentioned in the Gemara that we hold of anyways, and it certainly is brought down in Shulchan Aruch, so we do accept it, but it is noteworthy that the Gemara doesn't mention it. Might indicate that it's a low-level tainus. Everyone agrees it's a low-level tainus. You know, my kids, one of the things we do, my kids are always asking me to ask questions to them at the Shabbos table. Always ask questions. I go around the table, ask types of questions. They want hard, they want easy, they want medium. So I ask questions on the Parsha and the questions of just general Yedios Klalios. So one of the questions I'll ask once in a while is, can you name all the fast days? So they go through, you know, Yom Kippur and Tisha B'Av and so on and so forth. So there are different types of fast days that we have. There's the fast days that are related to Avelis, which would be Tisha B'Av, Tzom Gedalia, Aser B'Teves, and Shvat Aser B'Tammuz. Now the truth is, these fast days are not really related to Avelis, because an Avel doesn't fast. An Avel actually eats. There's a mitzvah that when the Avil comes home from the Levaya, from the Kvura, there's a Sudas Havra. We give him a meal. There's a special meal that the Avil eats. So Tainus isn't related to Avelis, even though we think it does. It's not. Tainus is related to Tshuva. On a fast day, when we are mourning, it's a great opportunity to do Tshuva as well. The Raya is from Yom Kippur. We fast Yom Kippur, but there's no Avelis Yom Kippur. An Avil sits Avelis, but he doesn't fast. Fasting, although we perhaps sometimes associate it with Avelis, that's not really a halacha in mourning. It's a halacha in tshuva, like Yom Kippur. Now, we know that different types of... Yeah?
I mean, my tisha love is not about... It's about the anointing. It's not about tshuva.
No, it's also an element of tshuva as well. Sure. The Inuim have nothing to do with Avelis. The Inuim that we do, a couple of them do, removing shoes and stuff, but they don't necessarily, there's a difference. It's an interesting brisker rub based on the Rambam. He says there are two dinim when it comes to Tisha B'Av. There's Avelis, and then there's Tzom. And there's a difference of what type of water, cold water, you're allowed to use. There's one halacha for Avelis, which is a different halacha for a Tainus. So there are two dinim he mentions. So sometimes we have, like the Isser Rechitza, have two elements, and that Nafkamina comes out whether you could use cold water or not. But there certainly are two elements. So the aspect of Tzom and the fasting does not relate to Avelis. So Tzom, fasting is about Tshuva. Now that Tshuva could come in two ways. We know there's Tshuva Me'ava, and there's Tshuva Me'ira. There's Tshuva that we're scared of things, and there's Tshuva because of love, because we love HaKadosh Baruch Hu, HaKadosh Baruch Hu loves us. So these are two types of fast and two types of tshuvas. So, Avelis, Tisha B'Av fasting would be a tshuva meyira. It's a very sad day. So that would be a tshuva of like we're hardening ourselves. And Yom Kippur, we know Yom Kippur is one of the happiest days of the year. So that's a day of tshuva me'ava, tshuva me'simcha. So the two types of tshuvas, two types of fast days. There's the happy fast days and then the sad fast days. So of these fast days, we're going to come back to Tainus Becharos in just a second, but at least in this model of a Tainus Shel Tsar, let's call it, and a Tainus Shel Simcha, there are nafkaminas. And the Shlomo Zalman Orbach talks about a situation of fasting on Tainus Esther. Tainus Esther is understood to be a Tainus Shel Simcha. It's a happy fast day. We have such a thing as happy fast days. Yom Kippur is a happy fast day. Tainus Esther is a happy fast day. In fact, I had a shiloh once, you know, where the Gemara tells us in Maseches Tainus that if a person has a din Torah with a goy, you should go in Adar. Don't go in Av. Av is a bad mazel ra. But Adar is a mazel tov, so you should try to, if possible, to have it during Chodesh Adar. So let me ask you, is Tainus Esther, let's say you have a din Torah on Tainus Esther, Is that going to be considered the mazel tov of Adar, or since it's a fast day, it's a sad day, it wouldn't work? So the way the poskim understand, I never saw them address this particular question, but as the poskim understand, Tainus Esther is a Tainus Esther shel simcha, it's part of Adar, marbim simcha, our fasting. Fasting isn't a stira to simcha. You know, when you fast, sometimes it means, not that you're being hard on yourself, you're elevating yourself to the status of malachim. That's another way to view it, as the positive way. Like Yom Kippur is, we're like malachim. So I once had this maisa. I was learning in YU, and my wife was she was pregnant in her ninth month, and it was January time. It was Shvat actually, and she told me she was in labor. It was a Thursday, so she was in labor. She went to the doctor. The doctor says you should go to the hospital. It wasn't urgent, but you should make your way over. So I came back from YU, and I was driving through Queens, and then those who are familiar, you know that service road next to. Like below Jewel Avenue. You come off the Jewel, you make a right on that service road when you cross over the Grand Central. So you made a right there near the basketball courts. So the right there, at the end, there's a stop sign. You make a left, if you know what I'm talking about. Oh, fine. So anyways, there's a stop sign. No one uses the stop sign because it's a one-way only. So it's one of those like annoying stop signs. You know, every block here in the Woodmere is another stop sign. So you do one that's like, you know, kind of, you know, nothing to look at because no other directions. You kind of bounce your way through. And of course, there was a cop waiting over the other side, pulling over everyone else who was doing the same thing as me. So before I even had a chance to tell him my wife is in labor, he wrote the ticket pretty quickly. He gave me the ticket and let me go on my way. And the next morning, Yeshaya, my oldest son, was born. Fine. So of course, I wanted to appeal. I didn't want to pay the ticket. So I appealed. Is that what you to appeal? That's what you call it, right? You appeal the ticket and you submit it, and they sent me back my court date, which ended up being on Yud Gimel of Adar Tainus Esther that year. Beautiful. So I got very excited. So we'll see. I wanted to see whether the Mazel Tov will work of Adar or not. So I got papers of documents that my wife had given birth the very next day. And I came with a briefcase of some sort to look chashuv, suited up. And you go to the DMV down here, Rockaway Turnpike. And mostly filled with people who don't know English. And the way it works, I think I'm not familiar with this, but the way I was told, if your officer isn't there to come, so then you're off the hook. And if your officer is there, so then you have to duke it out in front of the judge. So there's one officer that was there. Now, I don't remember. It was so quick whether this was my officer or not my officer. I had no idea if it was. So the first few names, Edgar Rodriguez is called, and a bunch of Spanish people were getting called, and they all get off the hook because their officer isn't there. They say, okay, Yonatan Levin, and officer so-and-so. I say, great. So I come up standing in front of the judge, and they say some of the things that they say. You swear to tell the truth to the police officer. They didn't make me do that. So I'm standing there, and I don't remember the terminology, but the judge says to the officer, are you ready to prosecute her, or whatever the language was? And he said, no. So the judge says, that's awfully nice of you, officer. Okay, next. As I said to the clerk, I said, what do I do? You're done. That's it. Go home. And that was it. That was my mazel tov from Adar on Tainis Esther. And perhaps the reason is because even Tainis Esther is a Tainis Shel Simcha, and it has that same mazel tov of the entire month of Adar.
Did you want to ask the officer why you did that?
No, I didn't want to at all. not at all. When they let you go, you should let you go. I had a similar mice actually in Florida. I actually shared it with the ladies last night at the Shear. So we were going down. When I plan our trips to wherever we go, I plan everything pretty exact, and I give a few minutes of buffer in case something doesn't go exactly right. So we planned, it was a Monday, we're coming back from Florida, and we were staying in the Hallandale area, which is near Aventura area, and we wanted to pick up some lunch and then go to pick up dinner along the way and take it to the airport. The flight was at 5, so we'll get lunch at 12 o'clock and take dinner on the plane. So it was an overcast, like the entire week it was this past vacation, which means everyone is inside eating at all the stores. And in Florida, when it's full and when it's winter break, that means it's 3 hours to wait for your food. So we went to one place near my parents' apartment, and it was there was one table outside. It was chilly outside, so we were waiting there, but they weren't paying attention to us, and we had no time. So we went to another store 20 minutes away, and that was also just as packed. Happened to see Rav Weinberger as well as kids that were there. They were waiting online, and so said, no, we have to go to Miami Airport anyway, so let's drive down to Miami Beach. Maybe there things will be better. So we went down Miami Beach, the bagel store, the line was out the door. So we saw Carlos and Gabby was down there. I said, okay, who's having Fleishigs in the afternoon? Let's go there. So my wife went in with the kids, and I went to find parking. Found the spot in the back, and we're walking in the front, and she says, the place was empty. There's one table. But there's only one person who was waitering, and she was cooking the food, and she was doing the register. So she couldn't even sit my wife and kids. So we said, let's forget it. Let's just go to Kastner's. Kastner's is a grocery store rack. Couple stores down. When the Kastner's bought bread and cream cheese and some snacks, and that was our lunch, that was our dinner, fine. We're coming back to the parking lot in the back, and my car is being towed. What's going on? How's my... He says, the tow truck guy says, don't talk to me, talk to that guy. So this big Spanish guy comes out, he says, I saw you holding a baby crossing the street. So I didn't cross any street. He said, I saw you, don't lie to me. I said, I didn't cross the street. Said, you can't park here unless you go to Kastner's. I said, I went to Kastner's. Here's my bag and is the receipt here. Said, don't lie to me. I saw you walk across the street. I said, I didn't walk across the street. So why didn't you go to the back? I said, I didn't know there was a back. I don't live here. Says, I'll let you off this one time. So I didn't want to let him have his thing. It wasn't this one time. I did nothing wrong. But I said, I didn't want to fight the guy. He said, okay, thank you so much. You're so sweet. And I had my car, and we got to go. Sometimes you want to be right, but sometimes it's not worth being right to have my car towed and miss the flight and everything along with that. Either way, back to the story, what we're talking about here, Tainis Esther being a din of Tainis Shel Simcha. So the, what?
They're teaching us how to shop at Kastner.
Exactly,
the
right. Right.
And the moral of the story is take food when your mother offers it.
So Tainis Esther, which is again a Tainis of Simcha, so there are some built-in kulas, some leniencies that we don't have by other Yamin Tovim. So the Rosh Hashanah and Arbach Paskin that although one cannot not get married on any fast day, with the exception of a Tainis Esther. Because normally every fast day is some element of Avelis. So you can't get married on a day of Avelis. But since Tainis Esther is a day of Simcha, even though we're fasting, it's still a day of Simcha, you could get married. Almost every chassan and kala fasts on their wedding day. That's like their Ramah writes. So the fasting isn't a stira to a nisuin. It's only a velus, which is a stira to nisuin. So we see already here that there's a certain element of a certain leniency that applies to Tainus Esther. Moreover, there are certain chum. Sorry?
Fasting at my wedding, so will everybody else.
Exactly right. Right. So then.
So it is partially a velus?
No, not at all. It's not. It's a fast, but the fast of Simcha. It's like Yom Kippur.
I mean that one. I mean some of the other ones.
Oh, the other ones. Yeah, the other ones are the fast.
No,
all those days. All those days are days of Avelus, but there's also an element of fasting as well, which is an element of Tshuva. Right, Tisha B'Av certainly has Avelus. All the other ones have a low level of Avelus. We're mourning the Beis Hamikdash, different stage of the Beis Hamikdash. The fasting, however,
itself
doesn't come from the Avelus. It comes from the Tshuva, but the other elements come from the idea of Avelus. It's a combination of the two. Well, Tainus Esther is only fasting. There is no Avelus on fasting. It happens to be a happy because we're remembering the Zeich L'Nes of Esther and Mordechai, everyone being saved from Haman and Ahasuerus.
And particularly her being saved, not getting, for seeing the king unannounced.
Yeah, but everyone was fasting. Everyone fasted 3 days in the times of Mordechai and Esther. So it's remembering that Nes, it's the Simcha that that we're brought to, and therefore there are certain leniencies. So Rosh Shlomo Zalman Auerbach writes further that there are certain chumers that people take upon themselves on a regular fast day. He says those do not have to be applied on Tainus Esther. So for example, can a person use mouthwash or brush your teeth on Tainus Tzibur? So this is a discussion Mishnah Berurah. Mishnah Berurah discourages from using it on Tisha B'Av and other days unless a person really needs to. A person is very uncomfortable. Other than that, one should not. So they bring down here that once Rosh Shlomo Zalman Auerbach was asked about getting some type of procedure done, going to the dentist on Tainus Esther. Are you allowed to do this? And he says, you're allowed to, even though when you're going to, swish the water in your mouth, you might drink some of it. He wasn't so bothered by this because in the end of the day, you're doing this for some level of refuah, for some preventative matters, and therefore on Tainus Esther, you're allowed to go to the dentist as opposed to the other fast days, one may not. They bring a maisa here that a person's very weak on Tainus Esther, so Rosh Shlomo Zalman was very, very machmir. So he bring one time on the Tainus Esther, he was, Rosh Shlomo Zalman was going, it was early in the morning, and he was going to be a sandik at a bris, and then he went to the Yeshiva Kol Torah, where he taught, to give a bechina to number Tamidim, and it was a very long morning, and he was getting very weak, and so he asked the bachar to bring him a cup of water on Tainus Esther. And in the end of the day, they brought the cup to him, and when they brought the cup to him, he said, you know what, I'm going to hold back, I'll be able to finish the Tainus on my own. So it's like the Gemara in Yuma tells us that when on Yom HaKippurim, so there was a Kohen who would take the carbon shliach, the Sari Lazazel, he'd take him off the cliff and push him off. It was a long trip, it was like 10 mil or something from the base of Migdash. He'd have to schlep the goat. And the Gemara says that there are, I think, 10 sukkos, 10 little huts of people waiting there for water for him in case he wanted. This is Yom Kippur. And the idea is, even though not once in all of history did any Kohen actually eat on Yom Kippur, the fact that he had that pas pasal, he had the option if he needed to, that certain security, that gave him the strength to continue to fast. We see here, Rosh Shlomo Zalman himself was somewhat lenient in a certain situation to break the fast. If needed, Tainus Esther is a very different nature than all the other fast days. So that's the general, yeah.
Through the Sunday Connecticut study.
That's a good question. Could be maybe because he's going to be a sandik, that may have been why he is also more lenient. Could be, yeah. Could be. Maybe that's why they brought that in there, because otherwise it would be seemingly unnecessary. But anyway, this is Tainus Esther. Let's go back now to Tainus Bechoros, which also is very unique than the other Tainios. The very fact that we have, we're able to make a Siyam, and that we all rely on a Siyam, and no one actually fasts, that alone indicates there's some unique nature to Tainus Bechoros. So I want to share with you a beautiful Rosh Shlomo Zalman on Tainus Bechoros. He asks a number of questions which don't seem to make sense, and puts everything together to give us a really sharp understanding of how Tainus Bechoros works. So let's go through this. So this was something that he wrote up once, Rosh Shlomo Zalman Auerbach himself wrote up once in a publication called Pamei Kol Torah, which I assume were the publications, the annual publications from the Yeshivas Kol Torah where he taught. And he writes as follows. We know there's a minog, as we mentioned in the Tosfos, to fast on Erev Pesach for Bechoros to fast. But it's not mentioned anywhere other than a few Rishonim, why we do such a fast. So most people say it's a Zecher of the Nes, that the Bechoros, that they were saved from Makkas Bechoros, that the Jewish Bechoros were remembered. So he says, if that's the case, so firstly, the timing doesn't make sense. Tainis Bechoros took place on Tesvav, and we fast on Yudal. That's question number one. That's a strange thing. Number two is, he says, if it's because the Bechor was saved from Mavis L'chaim, so then we'd have to not only have the Bechor fast, but all his children, grandchildren thereafter. Because had the Bechor died, he would not have descendants. So everyone who descended from some Bechor of Mitzrayim, they should be the ones fasting. Not the Bechors of nowadays, they're not in danger. I think what you're asking also, the children, if you knew that you came from Yichus of a Bechor who lived in the times of Mitzrayim, that's the person who should fast. Not a Bechor nowadays, I have nothing to do with that necessarily. Moreover, he asks, the Minhag Yisrael is only the Bechor that's a Zachar fasts nowadays, but not the Kevos, not the females, and not the oldest in the house. But if we go based on Makkas Bechoros, well, the Nekevos were also endangered, as were the Gad HaBayis, if there was an older person, if the Bechor, let's say, had died already, and there was an older, the next one in line, he would have been in danger as well. We all don't have that concept here. We have whoever was the firstborn boy fasts.
Wondering yesterday, it seems that from the pasuk, it seems to infer that it was only the boys that were in danger.
Yeah, I think the Midrashim say that the Nekevos were as well. Yeah, I think so, yeah.
Yeah, the Midrash says that too.
Yeah. So furthermore, there's room to understand, if it's celebrating a Nes, we should be having a party. Why are we fasting to celebrate a Nes? So these are his questions. And therefore he writes as follows, Lefikach. Very good. Nira shegeder tainezu eino kizecha lemaisa hatzala bilvad.
The same as Tanis Esther, no?
Yeah, that's what, that question at least is similar to it. So he says, let's understand this definition. Geder tainezu, the definition of this fast day, it's not simply to celebrate being saved from Makkas Bechoros. Ella, who yom shel zboninus, cheshbon hanefesh, a day of introspection where a person should figure out what he should be doing better about himself. Be'ikvas zichroneis hatzalas habikurim, habechorim, shebo'os ha'ador. In light of what happened to the Bechorim, we should start remembering ourselves and figuring out what we should be doing better. What does that mean? So he says further now. The saving of the Bechor, he saved them. He put his hand over the Bechor to protect them. He sanctified them. Brought them closer to the Avoda. However, this added feature that the Bechor had, remember, the Bechor is supposed to be working in the Beis HaMikdash. They were really supposed to be the ones serving HaKadosh Baruch Hu, bringing karbanos. But kishechatu be'egel, the chet egel, next week's parsha, nitla mehem ha'avoda, v'nitna levnei Levi. Levi took it away from them. Kohanim took it away from the Bechor. V'ein ze hachlafa gemura. It's not a complete transfer. El adayim shaychen ha'bechor la'avodas ha'mikdash. El shepagam achet ha'egel ma'akvam. Really, Bechor, intrinsically, a Bechor is more shaych to the avoda, but there's something that's in the way. There's a blockage right now. Based on the Svarmic speak about this, or Chaim mentioned this many times, then the future loss of Lavo, Tachzer Havoda LeBechor, V'Yishamish Elu V'Elu Bavodas HaKodesh, the Bechor alongside the Kohanim are going to work in the Beit HaMikdash. So they really have that intrinsic connection to the Beit HaMikdash, but there's a wall blocking it. V'Nim, so what comes out is, Shamidas HaKohanim B'Mokom HaBechor, the Kohanim are serving instead of the Bechor, it reminds him, wait a second, I'm the Bechor, why am I not serving the Beis HaMikdash? It reminds him of the Chet HaEgel. It's heartbreaking for them. Their downgrade from being working the Beis HaMikdash to now taking a back seat. And he says, that's why we don't say Shasimcha b'ma'ono at a Pidyon HaBen. Pidyon HaBen, the Bechor is really supposed to work, but we transfer with the Kohen to indicate that they lost that ability to work in the Beis HaMikdash. So why don't we say Shia Simcha B'ma'ono? Isn't it a nice event, the Pidyon HaBen, the firstborn son, 30 days? Because it reminds us of the Cheda Egel. You can't say Shia Simcha B'ma'ono. Just like the Gemara says, why is there no Simcha B'ma'ono? Why is there no Shechianu at a Bris Mila other than a Sfardi Bris Mila? Why don't we say these things? Because Tzar Dianuka, the child is going through pain. You can't say Shia Simcha B'ma'ono. So too, Pidyon HaBen, you don't say Shia Simcha B'ma'ono because the Bechor just lost his post of being a Kohen, of working in the Beis HaMikdash. This is what Rosh Hashanah Zalman writes. So he says further now. Lachain b'yom zeh she'arba asar b'nisan. Why do we fast on the 14th day of Nisan? Everything comes together so beautifully. Shebo hegia avodas beis hamigdash. What are we doing on the 14th? We're bringing a carbon Pesach. It's an avoda in the beis hamigdash. Lis la shehoda v'tivarta, the beauty of all of Klai Yisrael coming together in the beis hamigdash. B'riboy ha'atzum she'akarbanos. This is the day of the beis hamigdash. And the Kohanim, Bavodasim, the Kohanim are shechting and doing all the Avodas, and they're catching the blood, and they're sprinkling the blood, and they're bringing the limbs on the Mizbech. And the Levim are singing their songs. And everyone's enjoying the Beis HaMikdash, except for the Bechorim. They're the only ones who are not enjoying this whole Karban Pesach. The Bechor are Malei Albon Meriris, they're full of bitterness. Imagine a guy who was once the CEO, and he was demoted to now some regular associate. And he sees how his company is taking off. How he could have had been the CEO. The Bechor sees this beauty of the Beis HaMikdash and all the Kohanim and seeing everyone's happy. But the Bechor is sitting off to the side by himself, like, what could have been? And he's feeling very bitter. And the Chet of the Egel brought him down. Now is Rechukim, their distance. And they have no Chelek at all in the Avodas Beis HaMikdash, he writes. And Befrat, in particular, the Karban Pesach, which was the first time where they actually had Kedusha. Because the Makas Bechoros, they were saved, the Bechoros saved, and that's where they were first elevated. The first Karban was the Karban Pesach. And then the Cheder Egel happens next week, Parsha, so the Karban Pesach was really uniquely the Bechoros the first time, and the feeling is tremendous, Agmas Nefesh. And because of that experience, says Rav Shlomo Zalman, Lachein Gam Kavu L'Doros L'Is'anos B'Yom Hazeh. That's why they established that the 14th of Nisan, nothing to do with Makas Bechoros. The 14th of Nisan, a day when we bring a Karban Pesach, the Bechor fasts. Lizkor es Kedushas Havoda Shezachula Bizman HaPsicha. To remember that there was a time where they were Zocha to work in the Beis HaMikdash when the Kadosh Baruch Hu jumped from house to house in Mitzrayim. Ulitein Elibam Hatzar Gadol, to put on their hearts a heavy pain. Al Shenitlu Mehem, that was taken away from them, this idea to work in the Beis HaMikdash. And it's supposed to be a day lechaper betanisam, to have kapara, to do tshuva on the cheda egel shagarm lechach. And now it makes sense to move on lefize shirak elu shezach lekedushas bechora. Only those who would be zochah to kedushas bechora, which would be ruuyin lehios kohane Hashem, heim chayavim betainizu v'lachem. That's why the nekeva doesn't have to fast. The nekeva doesn't work in the Beis HaMikdash. That's why the gadol habayis. Let's say the Bechor died early, so now the next in line, the God of Abayis, he doesn't fast. Even though Makas Bechoros, the God of Abayis was in danger, and the Nekeva were in danger. It's not about remembering about who was in danger the times of Makas Bechoros, it's about those who should be working in the Beis HaMikdash and aren't able to. They're the ones who are fasting, they need to do the tshuva, they need to do the kapara. So only a Bechor, the Zachar, is chayv in Tanis Bechoros, says Rav Shlomo Zalman.
And a lady wouldn't have to.
No? Now we know why. It's such a strange thing. We have a seam to undo the fast day. We don't have this anywhere else. So the simple pshat is because Tanis Bechoros isn't sourced in the Gemara. It's based on Masechus Sofrim. It's not so strong in tradition. And fine, so it's a much more weaker type of fast. So we could get rid of it quickly with a seam on the Masechus. But what Shlomo Zalman explained is kibesimchas limuda Torah, the joy of learning. It's mafigim habechor as hatzar hamriris shebelibam. Because they're so bitter and there's such pain, that learning is going to bring them to a state of happiness. Shekein gedula Torah yoser minakahuna. That the Torah is greater than being a kohen. Don't worry. I know you're upset. You're feeling pain and bitterness, but realize the Torah that you're learning is better than the kuna that you could have had. It quotes down here. There's some girsos. The Admor Mizidichov has a different girsos of Maseches Sofrim. He says the Maseches Sofrim doesn't say becharos misanim. His girsos it says becharos are misangim. Is the language misangim? They're enjoying Erev Pesach, and there's no source at all to such a tainus, and that's perhaps because the learning and the siyum and all that simcha that one should be feeling through the siyum masechta. So a whole other perspective, but it does answer all these questions as to why we have the fast of tainus becharos.
But then it wouldn't include the levi and the kohen.